All right, tonight I'd like to invite you all the way to the back of your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. We do thank you, Lord, that this is our Father's world and that you are truly in complete control. We don't always understand everything, but Lord, we can trust you. And Lord, we do lift up Israel and we ask for the peace of Israel, that you would bring a resolve to this these wars that are taking place and the attacks that are taking place. Lord, may you guide in all of that to your honor and glory and to the betterment and to the good of Israel. And we'll give you the praise for that. Bless us, Lord, your people tonight as we look to your word. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply A Look Through the Open Door. A Look Through the Open Door. We're talking about the events that are coming up upon us. And I do want to just make mention of this. The last mention of the church is found right there in chapter 3, verse 14. The word church, the next mention of her is as a bride, the bride of Christ in Revelation 21, 9 and also 22, 17. And so this is one of the reasons why we hold to the idea that the church is gone. Come up hither and there's no more mention of the church. Now we come into the revelation or to the apocalypse, which is the unveiling, the revealing of who Jesus is to the Jew. Now all of a sudden, the Jew is off the back burner and on the front lines, and God is dealing with her, that she might be what he created her to be and to put her back into right understanding of his salvation and where real peace comes from. Because the Bible tells us that we should pray for the peace of Israel, but there is no peace without Jesus. Amen. And so that's what Israel needs. And so tonight we just want to just look through the open door into heaven and see what we have here in chapter 4. And the first thing we'll take notice is the throne that is set in heaven. The second thing, and by the way, there's only 11 verses, so it's not long, but there are four thoughts. The second thing we'll see are the 24 elders, and then the next thing we'll see here are the four beasts that are full of eyes, and then we'll take notice of the honor and the glory of our God. So look with me, if you will, in verse 1. Let's read verse 1 again. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither." He got an invitation, amen. You and I also get a little bit of a different invitation to see what John saw. And he says, "And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And so here he's seeing the throne and who's sitting on the throne. And notice this, verse 3, "And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Wow, we don't even know what that's all about. But what is it going to be like? Amen. Only heaven can tell us when we get there, but it's going to be like nothing we've ever seen before. We can picture this in our minds, but when we see the actual thing that God has created, wow, what a splendid time that's going to be. And we'll thank the Lord for that. So here we find the throne set in heaven. Then notice this, take notice of the 24 elders in verse 4 and 5. It says, "Round about the throne," so we're getting more of an idea of what's around the throne, "were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." Now, I don't know about you, but listen, I'm convinced that is going to be a sight to behold. We have no idea, and yet, listen, God who created everything is in the greatest of all splendor. And look, we can be impressed with things in this world, in this life, that might be captivating and maybe awe-striking, you know, as far as looking at it, but nothing will compare to the throne of God. And so we see the throne set in heaven. We see the 24 elders. And now notice the four beasts full of eyes. And I won't even begin to tell you. I'll tell you exactly what this is all about when we're in heaven. Amen? You won't even need me to tell you that. But I don't understand this. But it's amazing to behold. Notice this, verse 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen? What a day that's going to be. Listen, I don't think there's a dull moment in the presence of God. There are going to be things to behold that are going to capture us and get our, and we will see things and we'll just be in awe of God Almighty. And so we praise the Lord for that. And then the last thought, and here's really where I want to focus in on here, is the honor and the glory of our God. And I want to stop here and just remind you of something. When you read the scriptures, and you can give me an answer and you'll be right on this, what do you think is God's focus when the word is being spoken, right? When we read the word of God, what is the primary focus on the word of God? What is God trying to relay to you and I? Well, if you said the glory of God, you would be right. Amen. If you said the praise of God, you would be right again. If you would say the mercy and grace of God, you would be right. But if you'll pay special attention, especially in the New Testament epistles, you'll see this a lot. Thou, you, that ye, that you might. All these things, really, because God is honored and glorified through our lives. Isn't that amazing? God has chosen, listen to what God's choice is, to glorify himself through your life and mine. So your life and mine to God are very important, and he does not take it lightly. So may we never come to this idea that we look at ourselves and we say, well, I'm just a failure. Well, maybe so in the sense of our own strength, but God wants to take what he has given to us in salvation and glorify himself and empower our lives that he might glorify himself in and through your life. That the world might look to us and see the grace of God and the mercy of God and the salvation of God that changes our lives. So many times as you go through the New Testament epistles, pay special attention and you'll find out that we are the focus, that God wants to glorify himself in and through. So look at verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Now, have you ever fathomed that thought? Who lives forever and ever. Forever in eternity past. How does that compute? Forever in future eternity. In eternity past and eternity future, God has always existed. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? He was always. He was always. You know, you and I have a beginning. He never did. That is just amazing. That is just mind-boggling, and yet we know it to be true. And then he says this to those to the one on the throne that liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying this, notice this, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Isn't that amazing? This is the honor and glory of our God. And may you and I adhere to this truth, and may we just every now and then just take a glimpse of what's going on in heaven and what will be going on in heaven, and we'll be a part
of that praise. We'll be a part, listen, I don't understand, we'll be a part of that glory. Did you realize that the glory of God will be on every believer in heaven? The glory of the Lord's already on the believer through the Holy Spirit. That's the glory of God. And yet we'll have I don't understand how, I don't understand why. I believe I could be just like David and say, Lord, who am I? Lord, that you've given me your mercy. Lord, who am I? You know, we think about what's going on today, and it's an atrocity. It's atrocious what's taking place. I heard about the young Israeli soldiers going through this area where they picked up 40 bodies of children. They said most of them were decapitated. Most of them had the heads off of them. What barbarianism, right? What how depraved that people. But listen, God knew this was the heart of man, and yet he's allowed, I don't understand that, but he's given us our free will, but he will bring all this around to honor and glorify him and to bring glory even to Israel and to bring glory into our lives for all eternity. What? Listen, you can count on that. We don't have to understand it, but you can count on this. God's going to make every wrong right. Amen. God's gonna bring peace where mankind could never find peace. And of course, that's through him. And so may we realize that worthy truly is our God, and he has created all things, and the world that doesn't know the Lord might point a finger at the Lord, but you and I who've been given the mercy of God, may we take notice of who our God really is, and may we even step in wonder and say, who am I, Lord, that you gave me the light, that you showed me, and that I trusted you as my Savior. We'll understand it more by and by, but one thing is for sure, as we look through the open door, worthy, amen, is our God who has redeemed us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for this glimpse through the open door that you gave to John, that we have an understanding, a little bit of an understanding of what's going on in your glory, and Lord, your goodness, and Lord, that you've even given to us the understanding to trust you and to believe in you. We thank you for that. And Lord, we don't always understand what's going on in this world, in this life, but one thing we do know, you truly hold us in your hands. You hold the whole world in your hands. And everything will turn out, Lord, for your glory and for our good. May we always completely put our faith and trust in you. And even greater, Lord, may we trust you to fulfill your will, Lord. May you reveal to us what it means to abide in you and you abide in us, that we might bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit to your honor and glory because of your mercy and grace to us. Bless, Lord, as we break off for prayer. And Lord, again, we just ask for the peace of Israel and for the needs that we'll be lifting up tonight. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.